This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
A biography of somebody, we used to do it to feed the yard site of somebody who would come in month. Now we've switched it to an order of historical order. And we are holding at the end of the Tkufas HaGoyinim, beginning in the gray area into the Tkufas HaRishonim, which is like the 900s. So we're going to speak about Rabbeinu Hananel, which seems to us like just a very little pirush on the side of a Gemara, kind of, you know, small words that seem say pretty much like Rashi, but it's a whole big chapter in history, and it's important to talk about it. First of all, I'm always makdim, where do I get my information from? Like, there's nobody today that can sit down and write about something happened 1,000 years ago, literally over 1,000 years ago. So, two makayris for this. One is the Chidah. The Chidah was an extraordinarily accomplished story. He saw almost every ksaviyah there was, and he put together stuff and so on. Chidah is incredible. It's usually very laconic and short. There was someone else who did work on this tkufa a lot. His name was Shlomo Yehuda Rappaport. He was a son of the Tzais HaChoshen. He went by the acronym Shir, Shin Yud Reish. He was a Rav. He was a maskil, and had like a foot in both worlds. But his work as an historical work is incredible. He basically, to do something like that, he did Rabbeinu Hananel, he did Reb Haigor, and he did many of those tkufa. He pushed it would take everything that they wrote, everything that had been written to them, contemporaries, and milk out all sorts of yediyas, like, you know, who mentions him, who doesn't mention him, what years do they write Zichron Evracha, what years do they write, you know, Yishmerei Hashem V'Chayehu, on and on. It's really incredible work that takes a Talmud Chacham of first rank to do. And also, some of it is Hash'aris, you can take it or leave it, but definitely his work was the incredible, groundbreaking work on it. It's not a big work, it's two or three pages of biography, and 50 pages of footnotes where he got it from. So really the way it should be done. But I want to be mocked him a little bit. So we've mentioned this before. What was happening in Torah? Torah's center was Bavel. Was Iraq. There were the yeshivas there. Sur, Pumtisa. Those were the main centers. And that's where the Geonim basically functioned. And that was the north center of Klal Yisrael. The Shtei Yeshivas. And Shailas and Shubas would come to them, and that's where Torah went to Klal Yisrael, from Bavel. It now, with Rav Haigon's Ptira, it was disintegrating. And it would list, it farmed out to two or three other places, and then it would die totally in Iraq, and it went off to Spain mostly. Spain and France, Germany for the Balakaisvists and so on. But there was a stop in the middle. There were two or three stops. And there was another center called Kirwan, which is a city in Tunisia. It's a holy city for the Muslims. And at some point they kicked out all the Jews because of it. But that had a yeshiva there. A yeshiva in those days wasn't just a place, you know, where a person went to learn. It was a makom Torah. This was where Torah, people would send their shailas to and so on and so forth. So there was in Kirwan, there was one in Mitzrayim, there was something. There's a story this story is brought down by Sefer HaKabbalah from the first Ravid. The first Ravid was a historian, and not a noted Talmud Chacham. That was the Ravid that we know of, is the third Ravid, the Baal HaSogus. The second one was the Ravid that the Ramban brings as Rosh Bezdin, but this is the first Ravid. He wrote a sefer called Sefer Kabbalah with a history, and it's considered fairly reliable. There are debates on certain points, But he brings a very famous story, and the story is a story worth remembering. It's, he said how Torah got to Spain. He said there were four of the Goinim on a boat. They were going, traveling, I don't remember to where, to collect money. And pirates captured them, and they took them to ransom them in different kehillas. So one ended up in Spain, and that was a big push for Torah to start in Spain. One ended up in Egypt. The one that ended up in Egypt, he brings a very interesting story. He was sitting they brought him Shabbos to the shul so that people should redeem him, the community should redeem him. And the Rav was a very big tzaddik, but he was not a big Talmud Chacham, so he writes it. And he was darshing the psukim. It says, you know, by v'tovel v'hiza, that on every tevila, on every hazor, he needed tevila. So he taught us if the kohen had to be tevil each time he made a hazor to etzba by the dam. So I forgot the name of the kohen that was in Egypt that he brought to redeem. He said, that's ridiculous. He said, so what's the pshat? He said, it's tevilas etzba, not tevil of the person. So he told him, you deserve to be the rav here, and he gave him the job. Baal Kapanim, through this ma'isa, and one of the people was Rabbeinu Hushiel. He was a goyin, he was the father of Rabbeinu Hananel. And he ended up in Kiruan, and the yeshiva in Kiruan, because of him, it became much more important because he was there. His son, Rabbeinu Hananel, is the one we're talking about. Rabbeinu Hananel is considered already, Rav Hai Gaon is considered the last Gaon, we spoke about him once. Rabbeinu Hananel, the Miri says, is the beginning of what he calls the Rabbonim. Historically, we look at it today as a gray area between the Tkufas HaGaonim, which is assumed under Rav Hai Gaon, and the beginning of the Rishonim, which the Rif is seen as being the first. So you have Rabbeinu Hananel, and you have somebody who learned with him together in Kiruan, and his name is Reb Nissim Goyer. He was born, they were both born around 955, 965, that's the date given, more or less, and lived to be about 90 till 1055. Well, those are approximations, but more or less what you do is by looking and seeing from what point onwards are they addressed as Zichron Evrach and so on. That's the approximation. So they lived there. The Chidor, it's assumed, they write that his Rebbe was, his father was definitely his Rebbe. They write Rav Haigoyen, very unclear if that was possible or not. But if he wasn't a direct Rebbe, it certainly he had a lot of his Torah. That's clear. Their Talmidim were the Rif, Rabbeinu Gershom, who ended up Italy and the North, and the Baal HaOruch, who was in Italy. Chido brings it. It's not 100% clear that they were direct Talmidim, but certainly the Hashpa was there. So it's hard to imagine. Rabbeinu Gershom was the beginning of Chachmei Ashkenaz in Tzarfas, and the Rif was the beginning of Chachmei Sfarad. And that somebody could be pivotal and be mashpia in both of them is really incredible. Another place where this is important to know if he was a Rebbe or not, one of the three that's supposed to be his Talmidim is Reb Nosson Baal HaOruch. The Oruch is a dictionary, but it has a lot of Shtik HaTorah in it. Tosis brings him quite a few places. In Ksuba is very famous. Now, knowing if you understand him to be a Talmud Rach, it means that his Shita and the Rach Shita are going to be similar, identical. It's Bozeh V'lomed Alzeh. That's its significance. Al Kaponim, so the Rach was the Gadol who sort of is the connection between Tkufas HaGoyinim to Tkufas HaRishonim. He was the first one to write a Pirush on the Gemara. He wrote a Pirush on the entire Shas. We don't have it on entire Shas. We lost big parts of it. but he wrote a piece on Kiman Tayashas. We spoke about Rabbeinu Gershom when we spoke about him, and that was later. And the Rach was the first Pirish. Now, being that it was the first Pirish on Shas, there are a few differences, a few interesting points about that Pirish. One is, he bederech klal is not mefarish gemaras that are easy. And like, all right, the rest is easy. Only the parts that are difficult, that's one thing about it. Two, he is mefarish, he brings the halacha lemaisa. That was considered to be a very important part of it. A third point of it is that he brings the Yerushalmi. I looked it up, I counted it on a database. He brings the Yerushalmi 360 times on his pirush. He was the first one to really bring the Yerushalmi in as comparing it. In every sugya, he writes what the Yerushalmi says. He also one more very interesting phenomenon in the Rach. As long as the Jews lived in Babel, their understanding of the words in Lashon Kodesh, in Aramis, was good. They spoke the language. The language was similar. The Jews spoke it. And b'meila, the need to translate words was not so important. When they moved into, it started moving out, whether it was in Tunisia, whether it was in Spain and so on, they began forgetting it. And b'meila, they needed to, so he would translate, the Rach will translate words that are difficult because it was not, people didn't know. There's one more fascinating phenomenon that was true of the Ga'onim and is not true of the Rishonim. The Rosh, when he brings the Rach, writes about him, the Kol Dvar of Divrei Kabbalah Hein. If you take a look in Tshuvas Ga'onim, in the Tshuvas of Ga'onim, you will find that they're very brief, very laconic. They will many times say, "V'kach kabbalah hi b'yadeinu, v'kach nagu v'shtei yeshivas." In the you don't find any pilpul in the goyim. Most of the things that people don't know, they'll say, "We have a mesiris. It's this way and this way," and that's what it means called v'dvar kabbalah. Tosis brings in a place about the Rach. The Rach, it said there's a Kabbalah, something about Rabbi Akiva, that he happened to be this or that or the other thing. This means there was a whole Mesiris of Torah Shebaal Peh that was in the yeshivas and was not printed anyplace. You know, the Kol Devarim Divrei Kabbalah means we can't argue with them because something that you figure out through a Masa Matan, through a Pilpul, so you can argue. That's open. So when Tosfos has a kasha and he gives a teretz, and therefore this is the halacha, it's based on his kasha and his teretz. If I have a different teretz, if I have a kasha against his teretz, I can shlug it up. There's nothing that's binding me. When the Goyim speak, and like when the Rach spoke, and he said this is the way it is, he said it not misvar de nafshe, he said it not mikoyach apulpul, he said it because they had these mesiris. So those mesiris and he was the last one that they write about that the Dvarim Divrei Kabbalah, and that's why the Rosh defers to him. And he says, you know, to call the Rosh Divrei Kabbalah. From that point onwards, when he was Nifta, basically within a year or so, I think Reb Nissen might have taken over. He was Nifta shortly after that. It closed. The yeshiva closed, and that was the end of it. So whatever remnants there was of Tekufas HaGoyinim was over. And now it went off into Spain and in France, Germany, France. And over there, the people, they didn't have these Mesiris. They didn't know the words. It was a very different way of being able to learn out Divrei Torah, you know, from what we have. and they needed, it says people forgot a lot, there were a lot of tzaras, they needed pirushim, they came out in Tkufas HaGoyim, there were no pirushim, the Rav was the first one. They you know, people seemed to know it, just learning from the Rebbeim. The Rav was the first one that felt compelled to write it. The Rav wrote, there are many tshuvas, we don't have a tshuva safe of his, but the tshuvas mentioned as farim. There was a sefer he wrote called Sefer HaMiktsoyos, which was on different in Yonim, like Piske Halachas. It's mentioned in the Mordechai in a few places. We don't have it. We don't have a physical sefer called Sefer HaMiktsoyos. He worked a lot on the Girsis, on the Girsoyos. And you'll see, anyone's familiar with Tosfos, I'll bring the Rach was Girsoyos like this. You take a look in the Rach. Girsoyos was an important part of it. The Rach wrote also on Chumash. We don't have a sefer of his on Chumash. What we do have is a collection of Sfarim that quote him on Chumash. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes him. This week's Pasha, actually, we'll say over. Two things, actually. He quotes him, okay, Kedron Ramban. And they've put together, the first one to put together a sefer of his points on Chumash was actually Rappaport. The Moshe Rav Kook put out one also, Rabbeinu Hananel. It's basically just an enhanced version of that collection that Shir did. It's interesting that in last week's Parsha, Parsha Boy, the Rach writes that the Ikka Kiddush HaChodesh was always with the Cheshbin, and the Eidus was just a mitzvah Mekabla Eidus. But they always had a Cheshbin, that was their go-to. That's interesting. In Beshalach, he has a piece where he says there are four Ikre Emuna that make a person a Maimon. I want to talk about this point because it's interesting. We know there's Yud Gimel Ikrim, because the Rambam wrote Yud Gimel Ikrim. There are other shitas, not that they disagree with any particular Ikr, but they feel that you don't need to say 13. You can recategorize them. They're klolim. So Lamashal, and this is, the Rach says, the first klal is a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That includes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not corporal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no gvul. All the inyanim about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's, let's call it one thing, a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A second thing is a belief in his galus, which means nevuah, nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated to us, A, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B, communication. That all of these include many, you know, many of the ikrim that the Rambam writes. The third one is schar v'einish, and the fourth one is geula, which is very interesting. We think of schar and einish and geula as coming together. It's all Mashiach comes, everything be good and tzaddikim and so on. They're two very different in yonim. Schar v'einish is personal. A person does good. Kadosh Baruch Hu is there to give him schar. Person does bad, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives an oynish. That's one world. The idea that the world itself will come back together and become the good world that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that's something that's a very different dimension. The inyanim of Geula, whether we're talking about Tchias HaMeisim or Mashiach, it means that the world was meant to be a good place, the world messed up, and it's going to be a good place again. It's not schar v'einish. It's a very different inyan. So he hamidon al arba. So he's in a certain sense, when you look at the first person who speaks about ikre emuna, the Rach seems to be the one who's the first person. The Rambam became much more famous. But tachlis, the Rach is before the Rambam. The Rach is the Rif's Rebbe, who was the Rimagash Rebbe, who was the Rambam's Rebbe. You're talking about, and again, they may not have been Rebbeim specifically, but they certainly, one fed into the other. So the Rach in Chumash, different types of Pirushim, but that's a very interesting piece. There's one more element about the Rach and Agaritas that people have found interesting, and it's hard to know how much you can build out of it. Now, I'll tell you what it is. Derech in three places, twice in Chagiga and once in Sukkah, mentions that strange things that happened in a dream. I have it printed out here. In Sukkah it says, Reb Shimon says, Ra'isi b'nei Aliyah. So he says, it means Ra'isi Ruach HaKodesh, Kimoy Ri'iyas Chaloyim. So he saw it as a type of Ruach HaKodesh where he saw it in a dream. So that's Pashit. Reisi b'nei Aliyah, he meant, where did I see them? I didn't walk around and check them. I had a Cholam Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei, where it says, Malchamavis came to take down Miriam Gadloi, missed up with Miriam, and so on. So he says, so he brings the Yesh Mishayme, and Chagiga also, where it says that that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Megaladim in Olam Haba and so on. He says Yesh Mishayme Maris Halolu Kiderech Chaloyim Nirim. Like it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sometimes seen as a Zok, and sometimes seen, and so on and so forth. Those are three places that he mentions Cholam. I'm not aware of other places. So a lot of Torah is written on this. They didn't believe in Agaritas. They said this, that. It means nothing. These are in Yonim that it's not Shaykh to see it physically. In other words, these are in Yonim that just... The context lends itself. What does it mean I saw the Bnei Aliyah? Where did I see them? I went around from town to town looking for Bnei Aliyah? It doesn't make sense. Or they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a Zokeh. There's no way you could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only thing is a Mara Nevuah. So all these things in the context, it goes into the whole, they were rationalists, they go in and this and that. These are in Yonim that this is the only way you could understand it. To see a Malach HaMavis, how do you see a Malach HaMavis? You can't see a Malach with your eyes. It's only Derech Nevuah and Derech Haloyim. So the places that, so they quote this, and this is the places where what you want to see is what you see. Whatever Cholam you're having, that's what you see. That's basically, so if a person needs to find that they didn't believe in anything supernatural, so here it is. It's not true. It may or may not be true other places, but there's zero riot from these three places. These three places are speaking specifically about in Yanim that are not given over to that. And it's something which is, by its very context, that's the most natural explanation. Al Kaponim, so Derech is somebody that we don't know much about. We know he was a wealthy person, it says, that's brought down. And it says also he had nine daughters. Those are things that say, that's in the few snippets that we have of letters, stuff like that, that's written. Other than that, we don't know much about their lives. But we do know that this was the bridge, this was the chibur. We don't even begin to understand how important this is. Torah of the Gaonim lasted a few hundred years. It was its own flavor, and it had own mitzvahs, and the Torah of Rishonim lasted a few hundred years and had its own flavor, its own mitzvahs. There's a difference between the two. And the fact that there's a person who bridged them, he is, of all the Gaonim, he's the only one who's really quoted widely in Tosfos and other Rishonim. Very rarely, when we speak about Rav Haigo and the other ones, very rarely do you get a quote. The Rach is very there. Derech carries with himself, on the one hand, the Mesiris of Goinim. On the other hand, the Dan in his words, Tosfos is Dan in his words, like a Rishon. He bridged the two. There was he was someone that took Tosfos, he was Rav Haigoin's Talmud, or whether Kipshut or not, and he brought over the Mesiris to the Rif, to the Rabbeinu Gershom, to Rav Nosson Bal Aruch. This means that he was the critical piece that connected the two. His Pirush is the first prototype of both a Pirush and also a little bit bringing the Yerushalmi and other things. Yes, there's very little that we know about him. and there is and we don't have much of his Torah that stayed. But understanding that this was a critical junction where one huge period of Klal Yisrael's Torah had to feed into another one, and Hashgacha picked him and Rabbi Nissim Goyen as the ones to mechaber it, gives a little bit of appreciation of who he was.
So, would Rabbi say that?